Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. It is the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well. We're beginning the month of August.
Yes, here we are at the beginning of a brand new month.
Summer's almost over.
The summer seems to be flying by, and school will be starting before we know it. We begin today with our gospel from St. Luke.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He said to himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as you were reading the first part of this gospel, I was listening to it again, reflecting on it as you were proclaiming it, and it occurred to me that a couple of weeks ago when we had the gospel with Mary and Martha, Martha was telling Jesus to do something, to have her sister change her ways. And here we have this man who is asking Jesus to tell his brother to share the inheritance. And all of a sudden, Jesus is being asked to do all of these things.
It seems like he's always being put in the middle, but he really kind of gives us the tools to take care of it of ourselves if we understand it.
So we had somebody here who gathered all of these riches, but they really weren't his riches at all.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a human phenomenon that we all want to possess. I mean, I think that is certainly a part of original sin, where when you go back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were satisfied because they were satisfied in the presence of God, that really the story of the human person is that God is all. Sin, which has entered into our life through original sin and through our daily sins, leads us to want to possess, to hold on to something that is not ours. And this is where the greed comes in. And the more that I possess, the more I want to possess, and the more I want to have and have and have and have. And that's where Jesus in the gospel, or Jesus telling the parable, says, "You fool, tonight your very life will be required of you, and whose possessions are they then?" And of course, we have many right wills, etc. But that's the question. What have you filled your life with? What has been put in place, what has taken the place, we might say, of God's presence in our life? And of course, that doesn't mean for those who have that they should just throw everything away, but it's how we use it, because we can have possessions and use them properly, or we can have possessions and allow them to possess us. And the material goods of this world are never to be so used as if they become our possession, which really means they possess us. We are to be possessed by God. That's life's journey.
Right. And those material possessions should not mean more to us than God does.
Exactly. Or even more so, take God's place, and which can easily happen in people's lives. And that's where, you know, more and more we tend to talk about the theme of stewardship. Stewardship is the understanding that these are not my possessions. I may have very few, or I may have many, but they're not mine. And so you might say that even a person who has very little resources, whether they're financial or whether they're material goods, could also be rich in the sense that the little that they have, they can allow those few things to possess them. Whereas a steward, a true steward in the gospel sense, understands that whatever I have, little or much, is owned by God, and that I am put in charge of these possessions as a steward to take care of what is not mine. And the real maturity of the Christian life is to come to that ability to understand that it's not mine.
So it's the detaching of ourselves from material things. There was a phrase that I read somewhere that said, do not suffer from poverty of the heart.
Yes, I think, you know, a poverty of spirit, poverty of heart. And it doesn't mean, again, selling everything and throwing it all away and not possessing. It's, again, not possessing to the point where it possesses me, but possessing what I have to build up a relationship with God and relationship with others. And so the more that we live a life of stewardship and the more that we understand that these are not mine, but they're God's, the more we grow in an understanding of God's bountiful goodness to all of us.
In the Gospel of Matthew, he said, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Beautiful words, but it can be difficult to accept them and to put them into practice.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of like what we were saying last week about prayer. You don't start in college. You start back with first grade. I mean, we all worry. You know, there's a part of the after the Our Father, as we in the part of the Mass where we say the Our Father, and the part that the priest prays in between the people's response, it says, do not lead us into anxiety. Anxiety is worrying about what I don't know. Anxiety is what I don't understand. Anxiety is about tomorrow. And to really live and not worry about tomorrow means to be able to live in the present moment of life, in each present moment. And Jesus tells us about that in the Gospel of Matthew in that fifth chapter, in fact, in this very part of this Gospel, where Jesus is telling us that tomorrow has enough worries of its own. But to live in the present moment means that I have a faith in God who is my Father. And that whole Sermon on the Mount is about that theme of letting God take care of us as Father. And that's a maturity of faith again. That's not something that just happens because it happens. It takes the little steps in life to trust God in many things, in small things, and to watch the providence of God grow in our life so that we can get to a point, and I've met many people in a life of faith, especially as they get older, who really come to the point of not worrying about today or tomorrow and letting God be God. But that's a maturity of faith. That takes time to develop and grow, unless we have special graces, which some have, to let God be God today and not worry.
And you've talked before about living in the present, being in the present moment.
Exactly. It's so important. Otherwise, if we are unconscious of the present, this is where I think we start storing up for ourselves, because what we're trying to do is insulate ourselves, to protect ourselves, to do it for ourselves. And that's where we store up all these riches, and riches in many ways, not just in things. But we store up all this stuff for ourselves, and what that does is it fills us so much with other things that we can't let God be God. We get blinded by our own self-sufficiency. I can do it. I can do it. Well, if you can do it, then you don't need God.
And we all need God.
And we all need God. So we go right back to the thing of stewardships. To stewardship, once I can understand that I am a steward of God's gifts, then I always need God. I always need His providence in my life. It's not something that is that I can do all by myself. A steward really understands it's not mine.
There are the three T's of stewardship: time, talent, and treasure.
Exactly.
Thank you, Bishop. We appreciate your time and insight. As we take a short break now, we will continue our conversation. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And before the break, Bishop, we were talking about detaching ourselves from material things and approaching a kind of poverty of the heart. And then we talked about stewardship a little bit and the three parts of stewardship: time, talent, and treasure. And in regards to treasure, this man that's in our gospel today, he had all of these things, and he felt that he could just eat, drink, and be merry, and that would satisfy him the rest of his life. But he really wasn't living in the present, was he?
No, he was not. And of course, you know, Jesus tells these stories. I always say that Jesus is perhaps the best psychologist, because he understands us. He knows our human nature. And so when he's telling this story, he's not just telling an idle story or a parable. He's really telling us about something about ourselves. And I think especially, you know, as we read these gospels, as we hear the gospel read Sunday after Sunday, or we read it at home, we should look at that. You know, Jesus, again, is not just telling a story. He's saying something about our human nature. And so this man had some possessions. And obviously what he had was not enough for him. So he went to get more and more. And it's almost like an addiction to possessions. And many of us have these kind of fetishes, shopaholic, whatever it is, because there's something empty inside of us as human beings. And this, again, goes back to human nature. We're not self-sufficient. So there's something that's empty in us, and we have to fill it with something or some things. And so this particular man had a great harvest, and instead he didn't have enough places to store it. So instead of sharing what he had as a steward, he said, I will keep it, but I have to build bigger barns. And so his greed, or his lack of understanding of his own stewardship, led him to hoard and to keep what could have been shared with others. And there's where the emptiness of this greed leads to an emptiness of life. And so it's something that all of us need to look at. In terms of living in a detached way, again, that detachment does not mean not having, it just means not possessing. And there's a great difference there. So Jesus is telling us how to live our life, because when we become so possessive of things, or as you've mentioned, the time, talent, and treasure, we can become possessive of things, we can become possessive of our time, and possessive of our talents. And in doing that, we have blocked God out in certain ways and others, and then we worry. We worry because we have to protect. It just leads, it's like down a slippery slope. Once you start hoarding and possessing all of these things in an inordinate way, not as a steward, then you have to build bigger barns, you have to build bigger gates, you have to build bigger fences, you have to build bigger alarm systems, et cetera, et cetera. And what does this lead to? It leads to anxiety, and you're not trusting because you have to take care of it yourself. And so this is, it's kind of, again, it's a very simple gospel reading and a very simple story about a man who had all this wonderful harvest, but it says an awful lot about each one of us. And so each time we hear these, we should really look at ourselves. And no matter what our state is in life, what are we holding on to? What are we not sharing with others? What are we not giving? You know, again, going back to those, the three T's, our treasures, that's kind of obvious. I mean, the story really points to a man who had many treasures but was unwilling to share them with others because he didn't understand he was a steward. He was someone who possessed. And so that's pretty obvious. But look at our time. You know, when we examine ourselves, hopefully each day or at least periodically in life, how are we using our time? Is our time self-serving? Is it something that I do for myself? Is all of my time absorbed in doing for me? Or am I able to give some of that time to others, to the church, to a parish, to organizations that help people, to the poor, to those who could use some help? Or is it all about me and a possession of that time? And also our talents. You know, people will say, well, I don't have many talents. Well, you know, we all can do something. It may not be the most brilliant talent in the world, but we all have some kind of talents that we can place at the service. I think I've always found with myself and others, when they say, I don't have any talents to share, well, just share something and you'll find what your talent is. St. John of the Cross used to say, where you do not find love, put love, and there you'll find love. Where you don't find a talent, put a talent, and you'll find a talent. It's just, as they say, just do it. Just get out there and do it. It frees us. Stewardship, a life of stewardship, a life of sharing time, talent, treasure, frees us from all of those things in our life that lead us to believe that we cannot. Whereas stewardship says, no, you can. Because we do it for God and we do it for others and not just for ourselves.
Well, and in regards to thinking of talent, somebody saying, I don't think I have any talents. Well, you never know until you try and you maybe attempt to learn something new. There have been many times where we've been in meetings and we ask for volunteers and people volunteer and they discover that they have something to contribute, a talent for accomplishing things and organizing things.
Exactly. You know, we have to find the arena where our talents, we may not know what it is, but if you volunteered some time, for example, if we went to a homeless shelter and we, and offer that time, my goodness, you may find that you have a talent to talk to people whom others may shun and not talk to, or going to a hospital, sharing time in a hospital, visiting people.
That's right. Being a Eucharistic minister in a hospital.
And all of a sudden you discover this hidden talent to relate to people who are sick. Again, if we stay away from those arenas and say, well, I don't have a talent. Well, if we don't put ourselves out there, we'll never discover it. And so we need to find through different opportunities that may exist, helping in a volunteering in a school. I know I was in a parish once where we had we started a school and a beautiful school, and in the town there was a large retirement community, and so we tapped into them and said, come and help read with the, and oh my goodness, almost had to fight them off. Loved coming and helping the children learn to read better. And you couldn't keep them away. But otherwise, they're going to sit at home all day and do nothing. Where here at a school, they had all this opportunity. So we look for the opportunities, not that we know our talent that we can give, but there's an opportunity. And go there and see. And it may come and develop.
Develop and try a different one. Exactly.
Certainly, certainly, right. Certainly.
And that can also lead into the corporal works of mercy. It's the examination of conscience, places where we can give back, where we can volunteer and offer our time, talent, and treasure. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty.
Exactly. You know, the corporal works of mercy, again, we kind of, they're there. And we may have, as children, some of us may have learned them by heart. I personally have to look at the list over and over. I mean, I know that when I was a kid, I learned them by heart, but you have to keep looking. But they're still there. And where do they come from? They come from the gospel. These are things that Jesus spoke of, whatever you do, the least you've done to me. And so throughout the gospel, he refers to some of these different situations. So to feed the hungry, to reach out to those who are hungry or thirsty. And again, thirst can be a spiritual thirst. It can be also a physical thirst. But giving drink to them, clothing the naked. But there are people who don't have, you know, what the rest of us have, that could use some clothing, extra clothing. And there again, talking about stewardship, look in our closet. What's in our closet and what's not in others? And if we're all brothers and sisters in God, in Christ, then maybe I can share some of my own clothing that I have built the third closet, or maybe I'm in the third closet down the hall because there's an overflow from my primary closet.
Or maybe some sizes have changed.
I usually have the six-month rule. If I haven't put it on in the last 6 months, then it needs to go. Shelter the homeless. Every city now is very aware of the homeless situation, the poverty and the homeless situation that we have. And so instead of judging, get in there and let's help. Do something. Visit the sick in our family, the sick in the hospitals or wherever, down the street. Is to not, again, there's a time element. Well, I don't have time. Well, you do have time. And then the imprisoned. And, of course, that's probably one of the most scary, you might say, for people to go to a prison. And, of course, we can't all just go into a prison. But there are also people imprisoned in their own homes to visit with them. And one that we forget about so often is bury the dead, to give a respectful burial to our loved ones and sometimes to those who don't have the means to be buried in a proper way. So there's so many ways of visiting a cemetery. There's something there to not forget our loved ones, but to pray for them, go to the spot where they're buried and to pray for them. So all of these, really, when you look at those corporal works of mercy, they're all ways of living out stewardship, giving of my time, my talent, and my treasure.
And there are different ways that we can do any of the above.
Exactly. Sure, we can stretch it and not be so literal to it.
Well, you were talking about visiting the sick. I've heard of a program where just sometimes a phone call to your neighbor or somebody who is in need can make the world of difference to them, just to check up on them. Maybe you give them a call at a specific time of day every day just to check in.
And sometimes it's just the elderly person down the road that maybe I can pick up their medicine. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much.
That's right. And reaching out always helps. And it helps us too. Sometimes you get more in return for reaching out to people. And that's the whole point. We forget ourselves when we are in service to others.
The fact is that we are realized, in other words, we become ourselves in prayer because we can't hide from God in prayer. We are who we are, but also in loving in those very small ways, we really become our true self. And that's what it's all about.
Thank you so much for that explanation, Bishop. If you would now close our program with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, our Father, you've revealed yourself in so many ways, but most perfectly in your Son, Jesus Christ. In the gospel today, he tells us not to hold on, not to store up, not to possess, but to be good stewards of all your gifts. Bless us in all that we have, but help us above all to be good stewards of your many treasures. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View, with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.